This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 3.
Here's the Iron Man of American college football this morning.
Eric McClain is in the house.
Come on.
Doing all right?
I'm great. What a tough game.
Man. Tough night for the Clemson Tigers, though.
It really was. And I tell you what, you've got to give 110% credit to LSU, what they were able to do. Best team in college football.
Proved it.
Maybe all time, certainly this year.
Mm.
When you see what they were able to do all year long to seven, is that correct?
Seven AP opponents. Top 10 teams.
Four that started the preseason, 1, 2, 3, 4. Just a total dominant team. Was fun to watch, to be honest. To see that in person. Those great athletes, the schemes. They just had some great play calling on offense. But you got to give the defense a ton of credit, too. A team that, you know, really kind of struggled on defense for a majority of the season, picked it up late, and had a great plan for the Clemson Tigers.
So take me through standing there and watching this.
Yeah.
Because that's different for you. How was that? And then what did you see? What did you see that you'd say, okay, well, I like this. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
And then as the game moved on, because as I was telling Mark in our first hour, we were standing there watching the momentum change.
Right.
And that was palatable
right.
in that first half when the momentum started to shift. And I told him, you know, we were sitting there with 7.5 to go in the first half going, this feels like a big possession.
Right. No, absolutely. And just to answer the first part, you know, you try to remove yourself as far as you can, right? At the end of the day, I did play at that university. I did play in a national championship. But, you know, I think that just who you're around and understanding circumstances, you want to be a professional. So I tried to not be a fan as much as I could, but certainly emotions were high. And when things were happening either way, you know, you celebrate and you're excited. But again, to see the game, I was very happy with how Clemson came out. You know, I thought it was night and day. Different from the Fiesta Bowl. You know, I thought that they came out swinging, came out very fast. Who would have thought it would have been a defensive struggle for the first couple of drives? And just to see how the teams kept fighting, and then ultimately, I think when Skowski went out, I think when you lost your play caller on defense, I think that's when all the momentum just swung in a big way for LSU, where it was just ultimately too much to overcome.
I'm going to say it for the last time. I'm going to say for the last time for the 2019 college football season.
Okay.
It was the correct call, and the rule's terrible.
Yeah, no, 100%. And EJ and I were both there and just kind of looked at each other, shrugged, and said, that's targeting by the book.
It was.
But it sucks. And it's a, you know, I can't stand it. I don't like the fact that you remove a young man from the contest.
And said the same thing with the Wade hit on Trevor Lawrence.
Right, exactly. So
and
I think
to make a football play.
It's just something that, you know, you're ejecting a young man. If that would have been his last game, I mean, could you imagine that? Never being able to walk on a field because someone made a decision that was targeting, which, again, lowered his head, made slight contact, and that's what it is. But I think that that was very important. And I think that, again, when you have such a ball player like James Skowski, and you see, I mean, you see the emotion. I couldn't even imagine you know, being removed from a contest like that.
But, Eric, you know, even with that said, the flip side, though, is Trevor Lawrence had a tough time finding anybody open.
Yeah.
Wide receivers could not create any kind of space. The defensive backs for LSU were out of sight.
Yep.
And when you're down double digits and you're forced to make plays downfield, it's tough.
Yeah,
especially
no
against
doubt.
A team as talented and as well-coached as LSU.
For sure. I think that was his worst night that we've ever seen. But, again, he's human. He's going to have bad days. And I think, again, you have to give credit to LSU's defense. We came in talking about, you know, Stingley, second-best cornerback in the country, maybe fighting for number one. When you see his accolades, when you see his length, his size, speed, his calves, EJ kept saying, man, look, that guy's twitchy, fast, explosive dude. And again, when you're going against that competition and you're off just a little bit, you know, you're at a distinct disadvantage. But even the way, you know, the ball was coming out of his hands at times. But, you know, I think we're going to look back on this next year, maybe around the same time, and say that was the best thing that happened to Trevor Lawrence. You think of now, he has fuel that he's never had before. He's never lost a college game, a collegiate game. And now with it being the last one, that he played this season, you have to think that's going to be unbelievable fuel in the offseason for him to hold on to that feeling. Because, number one, you had millions of people. You had millions of eyeballs on you, and you underperformed. You kind of let your team down. And I think he's going to take that and turn into an absolute monster and next year.
Not only Trevor Lawrence, but again, I think this football team. Dabo Sweeney will take inventory of what happened last night, the good and the bad, and say, hey, you know what? This team's still 29-1 the last 2 years. I mean, it's kind of crazy how we're nitpicking Clemson football this morning. But, you know, they will be better next year because of what happened last
night. And just talking with Coach Sweeney and him, hearing him say that, you know, we got 80 freshmen and sophomores. We are going to be better next year. And it's just, it's almost unfathomable to think about how are you going to be better? You were just 29. You're 29-1. What's better? But I think you look at the defensive line. I think that they were the weak point of this team, which again, nitpicking. We've had to nitpick all year because of what they are and what they've been able to do. I think that's going to take a big step forward. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, we hope that he takes another step forward in his progression, which I assume he will.
What about offensive line?
Losing four of them. That's going to be tough. But the good thing about Clemson is they rotate their guys so much. You know, they have guys that play, you know, PFF. You look at, they do this ranking system and they do the offensive lines and number one, two, three, whatever. Jordan McFadden was Clemson's best rated offensive. He's a backup. So now he will be a starter next year. So to think that you're getting a guy who is your number one player this year, didn't play, is now going to be a starter. So at the end of the day, Clemson reloads. They don't rebuild. And I think that's what we're going to see. But that offensive line, it's going to be a bunch of new faces.
I want to ask you something I touched on with Pac in the first hour. If Ohio State was a program win, not a team win, just this particular team, but more the Tiger program, then last night, I'm always impressed that Dabo finds ways, even in a tough night, to still guide in a positive way of what he wants to do. Sure, he's grateful for the contribution of the people, seniors especially, that were on his team.
Right.
You mentioned this a week or so ago with us. Your last game at Clemson, you knew was your last game, was the national championship game in Arizona. Yet, even after that game, I felt like Clemson was going somewhere.
Right.
I felt that way today after watching and reading his comments and hearing him. What is it about the program that allows that to occur?
You know,
I think that's an important message this morning for people.
No doubt. I think, number one, it's the general belief of the coaching staff, of the guys in that program, to understand that, hey, all we do is win and all we do is fight for championships. That's our goal. When you hear the things that he says, when you see who is coming up, again, I mentioned it, 80 freshmen and sophomores are on this team. That's just a crazy thing to have to think about, to overcome, that next year these guys are going to be grown up. And it's something that, again, the building blocks are there. The culture is in place. This thing is a machine that is just running. Now, it obviously takes effort. It takes that consistency where you're putting in the extra film hours, the extra workout hours. But that's what they do. And you look at this great senior class that is now leaving. What did they instill in the rest of the team that now, I mean, spring ball starts in 6 weeks,
that's
which
crazy.
Is crazy. Yeah. But we're going to find out, who are those leaders going to be? Who are those next guys coming to the forefront?
We've asked everybody that stops by. We kind of know who Clemson is and where they're going. What do you envision 2020 look like for the league?
I think much better. You know, I think this was a transition year. When you look at quarterback play, number one, the quarterback play next year is going to be out of this world. When you look at Trevor Lawrence coming back, you look at Sam Howell, who was just announced best freshman ever, you know, basically in his class with freshman All-American honors, the little convention that they just had. When you add that on top of Cunningham, the young man Hooker from Virginia Tech,
right?
I think all of that quarterback play is going to be tremendous. UNC is going to take great strides, I believe. Louisville, Virginia Tech. Wake Forest is going to be interesting. You know, Jamie Newman leaving, go to Georgia. I think Sam Hartman. Still a fantastic player. I think that they take it up a notch with another year. So I think it's going to be a great year for the ACC.
All right. I want to get to a legacy piece here tonight. I don't know what the next 72 hours holds for Isaiah Simmons.
Well, I do.
He's a fantastic.
See you later.
He's a fantastic football player.
He absolutely is. And I think that was probably his best game in terms of where he played, where he lined up. The first two drives, he played inside linebacker, outside linebacker, safety,
corner,
nickel, Sam. He had a couple tackles for loss, a quarterback hurry, pass deflection. You see here, it's just seven tackles, a sack, and two pass breakups, but you can't measure the impact of Joe Burrow getting set and identifying where's 11. And he obviously did a great job, put up however many yards, but just the impact that this young man has had, to see him turn into this fantastic leader, fantastic player. I mean, this guy's a three-star coming out of Kansas. Nobody knows who he is. Mm-hmm. And you just see his body type to trust his coaching staff to put him in the best position to succeed, to be this freaky athlete that he is. I mean, the future is so bright for this young man, whatever position he plays in the NFL. And I think they need to do something very similar, especially with the league turning into this more spread-out college feel. You're going to need guys like this to counter tight ends, to counter running backs, and he's going to be right there for you.
How about your boy Durham? I don't know what the next 72 hours holds, and Matt goes, I do. See you later.
Yeah, he's gone. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
There are no options. There's a press A to go to the next hour.
I mean, I was kind of just, you know, playing the timeline of what's going to happen.
Isaiah, come back, please.
I do. See you later. All right, a lot of ground to cover. The idea of Trevor Lawrence learning from this and that process, I think it applies across the board to several positions, too, at Clemson. I think that's going to be interesting to go through as well, don't you?
Yeah, no doubt. And, again, you never want to just have a loss. You want to have a lesson. There should be lessons in losses. If you just take your lumps and move on, you know, you're missing the big picture, and it was a waste of time. So I think that they're gonna watch this film. I tell you what, that's the hardest part. It's your last one. Obviously, for me, it was a little bit different. It was more schematically and for the next level. But to critique yourself and to have a loss riding into the offseason, it's something that they're going to watch, I bet, 100 times before spring ball. And they'll figure it out, no doubt.
Well, they'll also figure out that the team they played was pretty dynamic.
Very dynamic.
Joe Burrow is a special player. Those frisbee-catching dogs, that's the reason they're the national champs. It's just like a year ago when we were sitting there having the same conversation, and it's 44-16.
Right.
Alabama folks were sitting around looking around going, holy mac, what happened?
I mean, right.
You know what? They're going to be just fine.
Absolutely.
You know, there's certain programs in this country that are just going to go, hey, you don't win them all.
Right.
Yep. And it seems like you do, but you don't win them all.
I mean, to even think about 29-0, potentially 30-0, it's just
no team in the history of college football has ever won 30 games in 2 years.
Exactly. So to do that would be fantastic. And, again, you know, this Clemson team's not going anywhere.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, more with Eric McClain, final hour from New Orleans, as we roll on a Tuesday with Packer and Durham. We will talk about the offseason for 16, and what did he learn last night that maybe puts him at the top of a lot of lists going into next fall as well. Eric's thoughts on Trevor Lawrence and where he goes, coming up next on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, scene of the crime last night.
I was kind of thinking you were going to show us the spot where the Secret Service got.
Is that Zion? Check it out. Yeah. Zion Williams. Zion, shout out.
Yeah. You know. Shout out to Zion.
Yeah. Shout out to Zion. All right.
By the way, I thought you were going to pinpoint maybe the location where the Secret Service
I couldn't get out of the building.
Mr. Packer, you'll have to stay right
I couldn't
right
get
here.
Out of the building.
I know you couldn't get out of the building.
I hightailed it to get back to the hotel to watch the game while you guys are partying
like
rock stars.
How'd that go for you?
I could not get out of the building. I said, ma'am, you know, every door is shut. Can I leave the stadium? Well, if you take the escalator and go up. I said, no, I'm not going up. I want to go out. I'm trying to get back. I mean, I'm trying to – I got stuff to do.
You got to go this way, that way to go.
I finally got out.
Thank goodness. Was that after the Secret Service let you get out?
I was actually with the Secret Service guys. I said, guys, I just need to get to that door right there, and I won't bother anybody. Stay. It's not like me talking to the dogs. Sit. Stay. Nevertheless, it all worked out.
I really thought we had a moment there where you and the United States Secret Service were going to have, you know, some good fellowship.
A quarrel?
I told you they were the only ones that had more folks on the field than ACC Network.
Yeah. they were loaded up. We were loaded up, too.
Man, everybody and their brother was on the field.
I tell you what, we looked really good last night, too. The guys and gals. They dressed up for the natty, man, outside of YouTube. But
we wore blazers.
I was shocked when I saw blazers.
Let me just say this. We had blazers and socks.
Ooh.
Right, Pack?
I wasn't wearing socks.
Oh, you didn't have socks on? Yeah. Okay. I did. I had socks on.
No.
Unbelievable.
Oh.
There was
no more motley crew than what was walking around at 4 a.m. outside Jack's Brewery.
I can only imagine.
Characters,
a bunch of zombies.
Characters. Creatures. That's it. Creatures.
All right, let's get back to football.
Trevor Lawrence, you played with great players. You've seen great players.
Yeah.
With you, before you, after you in this program under Dabo Swinney. In your mind and what you went through as a player, what's this offseason going to be like for Trevor Lawrence?
Unlike anything he's ever experienced. I think he takes it up a big notch. I think that, again, the fuel of this loss and the fuel of knowing you let your team down. And there's no other way to put it. And he said that in person. He said, you know, this is on me. And, you know, it's tough. And that's just the nature of the position. When you're a quarterback, when you're a head coach, it goes all on you. And I see there's second worst of his career, so there was a worst game. I don't think it was an effort question at all, right? Yeah, I think he tried to put his team in position to win. Still, at the end of the day, makes a couple throws where you're like, man, I haven't seen that before. Then he throws a ball on the opposite hash on an out route that is an NFL throw. So we're not talking about total meltdown here. Mm-hmm. It's just a little things. The ball just came out weird a couple of times. It sailed on him a couple of times. And that's just something that I've never seen before. But again, that's going to motivate him. There's no doubt. There's no question that he's the second best, tied for first best quarterback in the country. Not one tiny sample size is going to change that. But there's no doubt that there's work to be done.
I suspect that much like the early part of this season, where everything is overanalyzed with Trevor Lawrence, interceptions, what's he doing? And everybody just said, hey, take a deep breath, right? This thing will play itself out. This performance last night will be also overanalyzed to the point of no return. he is a big-time player. He will take it. He'll go to work. Again, I think he's got the ultimate fuel chip-on-shoulder routine that goes, hey, you know what? I watched what Joe Burrow did. What can I learn from what Burrow did that I can incorporate? He's got the physical skills to do all of that. He will be better than ever in 2020, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. I think just the person that he is, you know, when you see his coach and the fundamentals, how important they are to Brandon Streeter, the quarterback's coach there, I think it's going to be huge. And I think, that, again, they're going to chop it down to level zero.
And can we officially bury all the idiots, and I do mean idiots, that were asking the questions about, well, should you, you probably should sit out your junior year. Really, it was so beyond stupid to begin with. Yeah. And then you get a game like last night. Hey, you know what? He's still a 20-year-old kid.
Exactly.
A lot of work to do.
A 20-year-old kid going against a, 24-year-old across the way. So,
you got to keep things in perspective sometimes.
Exactly.
And it's amazing what some of the stuff that comes out of the media.
And it's not about money to him. It's not about any of that stuff. He loves this game. He loves to play it. So I think that is never even a question, a blip on his radar to think that he would sit out to not play. So it's fun to talk about, and I understand
it's not even
if
fun
you don't
to talk
have
about because it's stupid.
I agree. Next, well, what else?
You like me taking?
I know.
If you like,
gone.
Yeah. Well, that too. No disrespect.
Good morning, America. Great to see you.
Okay, you mentioned McFadden earlier.
Yeah.
Here's a backup offensive lineman.
Right.
Who you said PFF, Scott Holley. Great. That's almost like Sony PlayStation.
Don't bring that up either.
All right.
don't.
So take me through some of the guys that you see. And we were talking during the break. Lynn Jane Dixon, Frank Ladson, Joseph.
Oh, next year, yeah.
I mean, there are guys. And Dabo was quick to say early.
Yeah.
80 of the 120, freshman or sophomore.
I mean, I heard that in June.
Right. I mean – a lot of rotation. A lot of things happen this year. We know that even behind Trevor, there's going to be some competition.
Right.
How important, how valuable is that to a team where with Roddy we were talking about, hey, look, the back end of the defense was the strength this year. Next year it might return to the front.
Right.
In the offense, ETN could be gone. T. Higgins could be gone. There's going to be a skill transition.
Right.
So you said four of the five offensive linemen are going to be gone.
I mean, it's going to.
So what are we in for here?
It's going to be a big makeover and a big change. You know, you're looking again, a guy like Jordan McFadden. He's got very sweet feet. He's got long arms. He's very similar to Tremaine Ankrum. I think for the majority of the year he played left tackle. I would not be surprised at all to see him swing to the right tackle. I think that he's that good of a player. I think he's very patient. So from an offensive line perspective, I think he's going to anchor down that right tackle. You look at a guy, Bockhorst, just an absolute mauler. He's a nasty guy. He's going to be a left tackle, similar to John Simpson. I think that, I was more of a finesse skill guy at left guard.
You
These
were?
Two, I was. Yeah, look, I'm pretty.
pretty boy. Skill.
Pretty. Absolutely. Those guys.
In my head.
Yeah. The, I bet it
finesse,
was.
Skill and pretty.
Those guys. Yeah. Yeah. They like it to embarrass you.
You know, Mac. Pretty boy Mac over there. Pretty.
That's what I
he
do.
He rolled in the, you know, he rolled in the.
No socks today.
That's
no
right.
socks. Pretty right. boy.
No socks. Yeah.
But again, you look at the skill positions in Gata. You look at Frank Ladson, who I think is going to take huge strides. And you're getting a tight end back, by the way.
That's where I was going to go with you. And I thought that was a wrinkle last night that Dabo threw on them, where all of a sudden throwing to the tight end, huh? Excuse me. It's almost been a lost art since Leggett left.
It absolutely
And it's really been kind of a void in the sense that Clemson's not really been able to maximize the use of the tight end, which is really critical with the way they'd like to play. But I thought Galloway was pretty good last
year. Yeah, this entire year, I thought that that was what was missing. The middle of the field presence,
the field.
Whether it was from Rodgers, who was banged up, still came back, had a great year, and your tight end play. Severely lackluster for what you're used to, what you want. But last night, you know, Galloway kind of arrived and disappeared at the same time. And, of course, it's not his fault with play calling. Maybe it wasn't there. Maybe they made adjustments. But would have loved to see that go back to him. You know, I don't even think in the second half they targeted him. But, again, I think that you see that coming back. Again, on the other side of the ball, defensive line getting older, you have some war daddies coming in. True freshmen, I know they're young. But I think defensive line may be one of the easiest positions to transition to.
Wow.
All you got to do is go straight. Go get the ball. So it's going to be very interesting to see, number one, how much those guys play. And then schematically, what are you going to do? Because Isaiah Simmons, gone. Tanner Muse, gone. Kayvon Wallace, gone. Potentially A.J. Terrell. So you're talking about two strengths of your team, offensive line in the back seven, that are going to be a lot of new faces.
Both Andrea and Roddy were talking about A.J. Terrell's night. And he is on some top 10 boards at the position.
Yeah.
Does last night, from a player's perspective, does last night's result impact what potentially his decision process is?
You know, I think if you're a smart GM, right, you're looking at a total body of work. One game, it's hard to determine a young man's future based off of one example. Because at the end of the day, these are 19, 18, 20-year-olds that have bad days. Things happen. And I don't think his game was as bad as the naked eye shows. He was just at the unfortunate end of great plays being made by LSU wide receivers.
There were a couple spots last night. He was in the right spot. You know what? To Burrow's credit, you know what? Perfect pass, perfect catch, great execution.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's also, when you get to the next level, that animal is exactly what you're going to see on Sunday.
100%. So at the end of the day, I think it's a decision that he's going to have to make, whether he comes back for one more year or if he thinks that his career is good enough body of work, which I think the argument's there for that, for him to take his next step to the next level. But there's no doubt that if you're just watching that game, you're like, man, Ace just not having a good night. But at the end of the day, it's not as bad as you think.
Real quick. We touched on this with a couple other guys. There are guys coming back. You surprised? Guys coming back to programs. Marvin Wilson, we talked about. Chuba Hubbard's coming back to Oklahoma State. Tamari and Terry. I mean, they're guys leaving, but they're also guys coming back. And I don't know if it's a specific position situation, if it's a number of guys already in the pool at that spot. I just think, to the mind's eye, there are a few more coming back than have.
You know, and I think it's great to see that. It's fun to see.
It
is. Yeah, and especially a guy like Big Marv. I mean, he was on the boards as, you know, the number 21 or 25 prospect overall. And for him to, I mean, that's so big for Florida. So we could talk 20 plus minutes about how meaningful that is to that program. But yeah, I'm happy to see that.
Yeah, so am I.
It's great for the sport.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I always get a kick out of people that go, oh, that guy's crazy. He's got to go pro. Hey, you know what? You do what you got to do.
Exactly.
And if you love college life, man, enjoy it while you can.
Yeah.
Because believe me,
can't go back.
You cannot go back.
Yeah.
And once you're gone, life changes.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're in the NFL or not.
We're already around to the final half hour of this thing, Pac.
I'm ready to go, man. Do it. Do we have to go to break, or do we just go straight?
No, we're going to go to break. No, we're gonna you know, sell some things here, because as you always like to say,
nothing gets done until something gets sold.
That's right. Final half hour. Eric McClain with us. We're at Jack's Brewery in New Orleans, putting a wrap on the college football playoff national championship. When we come back, does last night change the era of Clemson football? We'll talk about that with Eric McClain and Mark Packer, Wes Durham. Right here on ACC Network.
The 29-game win streak for Clemson will come to a halt when Burrow goes to a knee, and the celebration is on here in New Orleans.
More than 2 years have passed since Dabo Swinney stood before his team following a loss, and his message was clear and concise. This is a disappointing moment, not a defining one.
These are tough moments, but when I hang my whistle up, it won't be about these moments. It's not going to be about, you know, the confetti flying and winning national championship and or a very disappointing, painful moment like this where you come up short.
I got you back.
It's really more about the relationships that you have. That's the true joy. We won 29 games in a row, and sooner or later you're going to lose one. Certainly wasn't the one we wanted to lose, but I know how we'll respond.
Lawrence again, back to throw. Steps up in that pocket under pressure, going to run with it. Steps up and hit, fumble the football, recovered LSU.
Oh, that's a tough break for Trevor.
Prior to Monday, Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence had never lost a college game. In fact, it marked just his second loss in his last 72 games. He was errant on several throws and fumbled late in the game, after which Sweeney consoled his star quarterback.
I just told him to keep his head up. I told him I loved him and that, hey, you know, listen, you got this is a great opportunity to lead and to respond. And, I mean, he's never lost a game, and he's not going to lose many. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. He ain't going to lose many. He's going to be a hard guy to beat forever because he's special. And he had a tough night tonight for whatever reason. Just didn't have his best night. But I wouldn't trade him for nobody.
We got a lot more in store ahead for sure. But I mean, it's just, you know, you gotta look back and enjoy all the things you did accomplish, because what we were able to do is pretty amazing to be a part of. And just gonna miss this group of guys. And I hate how it finished. But man, we did some really amazing things.
Senior safety Tanner Muse summed up Sweeney's philosophy well. As the senior class's legacy at Clemson, he responded, "I'll be remembered as a person more than a football player. I put in the work and I impacted the young guys. I appreciate them loving me and letting me love them."
Good stuff by Marty, as always.
Yep.
No surprise there. And kind of goes back to, and Eric, you've been part of this, about Dabo's message. And that culture that, yeah, you play football, you want to win the games, but there is a big picture here.
There absolutely is. And that's why I think that, you know, at this point where he is, because wins and losses matter, right? If you lose a bunch of games and you never win anything, no one cares what you have to say. But he is at a pinnacle now where his career to him, and his peers is judged on what he does with his student athletes on the field, off the field, what kind of young men does he develop them into? Great fathers, great leaders, right, servants in the community. And that's what separates him from a lot of people in this business, is that's where he finds his value and how he creates and develops these young men, how he serves their heart, not their talent. And again, it's remarkable. It's why you want to play for him. It's why you see this number one recruiting class the first time ever. So I don't think that at this point where he is, you know, any win or loss will really affect him personally. He is so far and above wins and losses, tangible earthly things, that it's just truly amazing. But you look at this game for outsiders and for people like us who have to talk about it, what does this mean? You know, you lost two national championships, you won two national championships. I don't think it tarnishes it in any way. It's still, at the end of the day, this is an absolutely special run. To say you were one of two teams to play for it all, I don't think there's any way that you could have any negative connotation, negative spin on this game.
I look at you played in this program, and you played arguably with, I think, one of the most talented players in Clemson history,
right,
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I think the talent level, no disrespect to the guys you played with, I think that talent level has gotten better.
Man, that's not even a question.
Comprehensively, yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, both sides of the ball for sure. But talent's one thing. The mentality's the other. Mm-hmm. How much of what goes on there and how much of what's going to happen transformatively to that effect in the ACC has to be the mental side, especially for a guy like Trevor, especially for those young guys that are going to play a lot more. Skill-wise, technique-wise, scheme-wise, that's one thing. Confidence level that Dabo instills, the teaching that goes on, the mentality to do this, Because that's what Dabo said after the game last night. And Pack, I think you and I've come back to this a lot. It's really hard to win.
Oh.
Really hard to win.
Right.
And half that battle, if not more, three quarters, two thirds, is the mentality.
Yeah. 100%.
So how do they do that, Eric? How does this group take that mentality and go next level?
Well, I think 100% it starts with coaching. And that's why coaching matters, is the mental side of it. And coming into spring ball in 6 weeks, as I mentioned earlier, right around the corner, take a couple naps and then let's get ready to play. You've got to start over. You know, it's a brand new team. You know, what you were able to accomplish last year, the year before that, those guys are gone. And that'll be very evident when you walk out to spring ball and you got a lot of new faces everywhere. But to have that patience, to have that confidence and just, again, coaching staff saying, hey, we're going back to ground zero and we're starting over. Because that's what you have to do, especially in the college space. It's not NFL where you got 10-year vets. You got Tom Brady's been doing the same thing 20 years. You have to take the approach every spring, every fall camp. It's a whole new team. You got to start over. And,
well,
again,
and I was going to say the other thing, didn't mean to interrupt, but you know, watching Coach O last night being interviewed, and they asked him a question: when did you know you had something brewing here? And he talked about January 17th with the way those guys worked.
Yeah.
Hey, it's all part of the deal. It doesn't matter if Clemson's beating Alabama by four touchdowns or getting beat last night by LSU. You want to win the national championship next coming year? Guess what? It gets started tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's truly when you win, when the stadium's empty, when the lights aren't bright. You know, that's where you win championships, how hard you work, the preparation, the off-the-scenes, behind-the-scenes work. And, again, these players have to never be complacent. That's the hardest thing with young men. You're talking about next year's seniors never have not been in a college football playoff. And you could have said that for these guys as well. But it's just – it can't be the – entitlement, it can be the expectation, and you have to draw that fine line of what's our standard. We know what it takes to get there. We just have to rinse and repeat.
So when we talk about Clemson winning games before the games are actually played and the competitive nature of practices and all those things, that's the biggest advantage they have right now in your mind.
Yeah, 100%. It is, again, you've been there, you've done that. You know how to respond to a loss like this. You just had it 2 years ago. Obviously, there's freshmen and sophomore that do not. You know, they're going to be figuring it out. But that coaching staff, there's no doubt about it. They'll have them right and ready.
We've also seen how Clemson responds to losing in a championship game.
Right.
And you know what? That normally means they're pretty good. I was just sitting here looking at a bunch of emails and stuff that popped up. People are already coming out with the odds and so forth.
How's that looking for you?
Well, I was just going to tell you, you know, everybody's with the gloom and doom from last night. Clemson's the favorite from a team standpoint, and guess who's the favorite for the Heisman?
Right.
The guy we're sitting here talking about, man, he's got to work on A, B, C, D, and E. He's going to be just fine. Like I said, Clemson football is going to be just fine.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, again, it is such a machine that they have created year in and year out. But I think it's going to be a little bit tougher next year. I think the ACC in general is going to be stepping up big time. And, again, I think that when you have such great leadership, again, I know they bounced back this year. It's just, can you do it 2 years in a row? Because you're losing some very, very good leaders.
I know you mentioned Carolina earlier, and we've kind of talked with Andrea and Roddy about this too. Is there somebody else you think can weave their way? I don't know if Louisville will get substantially better on defense, but I know one thing. They got playmakers coming back on offense. I mean, is that a team that you keep an eye on?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm all in with Louisville. I love watching them. I love that coaching staff. Very similar to Coach Sweeney and his approach of taking care of the man and the football player will follow. So I think when you see the skill that they have coming back, that three-headed monster between Hawkins, Cunningham, and Tutu Atwell, I mean, those guys should be the most explosive trio in college football. And when you see what they're able to do this year, confidence is a huge thing. I think they have a great spring. They build on it. Hopeful to get down there to see those guys, but I think you have to look at Virginia Tech and the Coastal as well. I think they're losing one guy to the draft who's leaving early in McLeese, and then one starter on defense. So you're talking
Dalton
about
King also out too, the tight end.
Is it? Okay, so you're looking at bringing back 19 of 22 starters. You're in a good place.
And a team like Pitt that defensively should be very good. And if they can figure it out, the offense running the football like they used to a couple years back, they'd be okay too. I'll harp on this again. The league really needs to have a bounce back in terms of everybody this side of Death Valley.
Yeah, it does.
It
absolutely does.
I mean, it just needs to have, you know, just sprinkle in a couple top 25 teams right. And then move forward, and hopefully the bottom gets better as well.
Yeah, and Coach and EJ hit last night on Florida State and thinking how quickly they can be back. They have athletes on that team. Now you have a coach that a little fresh start, a guy that believes in you. Big Marv, Scary Terry saying, hey, he checks our initial approval. We're coming back. So I think that you're in a good place there.
Was EJ fired up about Marv and Scary Terry coming
back? Oh, man,
back?
Yes. He knew it before any of us. He shot us a text. They're back.
Got the pom-poms out.
I can't. I'm really, that means something. Oh, those got, for a guy that's top 20 to say, I'm good. I want to do this one more time. I have unfinished business.
You saw that at Clemson a couple years ago when those guys decided, hey, you know what? College life's okay. We still got some unfinished business here.
Worked out well for them. You know, I'm not predicting national champs for Florida State, but I think significant uprise and increase.
I said this last week when Marvin Wilson came back. I don't know how Mike Norvell's recruiting went, but I can tell you right now, he got the two best prospects he needs.
Two five-stars, no doubt about it.
I mean, he got two proven guys. Mac Brown had the greatest line ever when he went to Texas and Ricky Williams came back. He said, our best recruits, we signed our best recruit today.
Right.
And I feel the same way for Norvell.
What do you think ETN's going to do?
Oh, he's gone. I think shelf life of a running back, understanding the hits. He's been very lucky with his career with having half the carries of a normal running back. But I think he's gone. I think that's the best decision. I think that what he accomplished this year was showing different assets of his game, got in on special teams, caught the ball very well. I still think you work on that, but just showed that I'm not just a 1-2 down back. I can be in there on third down and catch the ball. I pass protected well. You know, outside of the North Carolina game, I thought that he showed that he is a total package, and I think the best decision for him would be to leave.
All right, so Simmons, Higgins, ETN.
Terrell, I bet, leaves.
AJ Terrell?
Yep.
Okay.
And I have to, I mean, other than the seniors, you're losing some key playmakers right there.
Not like you don't have depth, though.
You know what, though? That's,
got depth.
That's what happens when you're in a big-time elite program.
Yeah. I mean, it's not
guys.
It's not a shock to anybody. No. I mean, this is kind of a three-year program at this point where they're turning and burning, and you've got guys waiting in the wing.
All right, we got to come back. We'll put a wrap on this show. Mac, we're going to talk basketball.
Come on. See? That's the only reason I'm here, to talk hoops.
I know better.
It's
Cassius Stanley, Duke, playing out of their minds. Louisville. You got to pick it up. Jordan Cornette said you're the national champs.
See, that's what happens when you do postgame with Cornette.
Yeah.
Come back with all this insight. Final segment. Mac, of course, wants to talk hoop. This guy gets more pumped about basketball.
Come on, baby.
About anybody. Stay tuned. Wrapping it up from New Orleans after this on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
By the way, Eric McLean is still the only guest to have appeared on Packer and Durham at the half.
Really?
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Honored.
So if you're going to be on Packer and Durham at the half, you're clearly available to be part of this basketball segment.
Absolutely.
A couple of news items before we get to the night in basketball, and that is Brandon Robinson of North Carolina, the senior guard from Douglasville, Georgia, was involved in a car accident Saturday night after the overtime loss to Clemson. Robinson did sustain minor injuries. He's going to make a recovery. The driver was cited for a DWI in Orange County in North Carolina. So Robinson is out of the lineup against Pittsburgh this weekend. That has already been determined by Roy Williams and their staff there at Carolina. No timetable set for his return. I will just add to this. Unfortunately, we're delighted to hear the young man's going to be okay, Mark, but here is another line of injury affecting North Carolina this year, and unfortunately, the beat goes on there.
It's also a reminder that tomorrow on the show, accounting – good luck figuring this one out, West Durham. There are going to be major changes after the weekend. Not to mention games tonight that could have an effect.
What has been more difficult, trying to figure out the Coastal or doing this basketball account?
Oh, basketball.
Really?
Basketball is much harder than the Coastal.
This has been PhD work.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
You know why?
Can't wait to watch it.
You know why? Because with the Coastal during football season, You got seven teams, and really five were in the,
right,
the ebb and flow.
Right.
Unless
for
I hoops, was doing it.
For hoops,
oh,
we know the Duke's really good.
Right.
We know Florida State's solid. We know Louisville's who they are.
Right.
Then it stops. 4-15 right now.
Figure
in this
it out.
League.
Well, good luck, guys. Happy for you. Proud of you.
Yeah, thanks. speaking of the Blue Devils, by the way, they play tonight, 7 o'clock at Clemson. That ball game's available for you on ESPN. Dan Shulman, John Crispin, Brooke Weisbrod will be at Little John Coliseum. Tigers coming off the big win in Chapel Hill.
First time ever. Shout out Brian Ives, good producer friend of mine. Love you, man. Hope you watch that game on repeat. But, man, what a huge historical win for the Tigers. Probably a sold-out Little John, you know, today for the Dukies, I would assume.
Well, I mentioned yesterday that if, biggest word in sports, if Clemson could have won the national championship, it would have been, without question, the greatest sports weekend in the school's history.
Well, you know, I think a lot of the fans actually sacrificed a national championship loss for the North Carolina win.
No, they didn't.
I don't believe that's
what I saw on Twitter.
I don't believe that is true at all. By the way, Duke is 5-0 in the ACC, 25% of the way through the schedule, 8-1 overall. Clemson coming off the win, 2-3 in the league, 6-4 overall. All right. Also at 7 o'clock tonight here on ACC Network, Louisville is at Pittsburgh. Louisville coming off the win at Notre Dame, another road test tonight at Peterson Event Center, Pack.
Pittsburgh great backcourt could be a problem for Louisville. Interesting matchup.
Yep. Be interesting to see how the Panthers handle that. They're 7-3, 2-3 on the year. And you know Louisville, they're right there with Florida State, a game behind Duke at 4-1. And then the nightcap on ACC Network with Will Fleming and Chris Patola is Virginia Tech.
Come on, VT.
At Wake Forest after the Hokies beat NC State the other day in Blacksburg.
How about Virginia Tech, man?
Nice
little surprise.
You got them number four in accounting?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about
absolutely.
Over there?
Absolutely. Come on.
Could be.
You're
going to
start walking your way into basketball
even though they
accounting.
Just, even though they lost
it up,
at Virginia.
You're going to be doing basketball accounting. You just don't know
you can't win at Virginia. They don't lose at Virginia.
Ask Syracuse.
Syracuse won the other day.
Won the last time they played.
You talked to Josh Packer, our producer on site here.
He was happy about that one.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you be, right? So, look, here's the other aspect about this, and I want to get into a topic we touched on yesterday. We are now in a scenario where the road team leads ACC conference games. Home teams are 16-22 so far in conference games. Folks, last year was 59%. Right now it's at 42%. We're starting to get close games. We're starting to get overtime. We doubled the number of overtime conference games last weekend. Now all of a sudden we're getting into closer games and road teams still have an advantage.
It's because 4-15 is an absolute glob. The only way to describe it.
So you're saying I need to take Duke, Florida State, and Louisville and figure out their record as opposed to everybody else?
Well, I'm telling you that those three are over here. The other ones are just, and they just throw them in a hat, man. Pull them out. There's going to be some shockers tomorrow in accounting when we unveil this.
Oh, man. Can't miss TV.
You are selling accounting tomorrow.
What is,
he's telling you.
What's ACC going to look like tournament time? Are they going to break the streak? Five? They're going to miss it?
I think there's a handful.
Yeah.
As of today, a handful.
Yeah.
Now, four or five.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Which is.
It's been six, right, for like the last 10 years?
Oh, eight. Last year, eight.
Eight, nine.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I think here's the other thing, too, and we touched on this. Dan Bonner's brought up a really interesting point, and I'm looking forward to having him back with us. It's the non-conference that has kicked in a little bit.
Right.
You can live with the 4-15 glob. Is that the word
glob.
We're using? You can live with that if your non-conference resume is strong enough. Right. Now, realistically, you got to hunt and peck to find teams that have any kind of a positive marker in non-conference that you can take to the table.
Yeah.
It's kind of like football. In some regards.
Yeah. Right that, I mean, that's the risk you take, right? When you schedule these great out-of-conference games.
Yep.
They're going to go one way or the other.
But you got to win.
You don't win them, it looks bad.
All right. Big fella, thank you as always.
Appreciate you guys all year, man. What a great football
You guys did
season.
A great job. EJ, Cotter last night. Coach Rick, the huddle.
The huddle, man.
You guys huddled it up. That was fun spending time with you all on the sideline
It was.
Last night.
We appreciate you guys. Maybe next year we do a little intermingle between Packer Durham, the huddle.
No blazer.
We're not waking up early, though. Y'all have
no
to stay late.
No blazer next year because we'll be in Miami.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
We'll be shorts.
No blazers.
We'll
shorts
be in
next
Hawaiian
year.
Shirts or Miami shirts. Whatever. What are Miami shirts?
Pastels.
Turnover chain on them or something?
No. No, Miami shouldn't have it either, for that matter. based
on. Move on.
I want to thank the good folks, though, here in New Orleans. I mean,
unbelievable.
It's a great town, man.
Yeah,
it really is.
Very hospitable.
Unbelievable cruise here in New Orleans. Yeah. Thanks to everybody in Bristol, as always. Andrea Adelson, Roddy Jones, Eric McClain, Pac, Wes. If you missed anything, it's on the loop, coming right back at you. Subscribe to the podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow morning, Wednesday edition, featuring Accounting of Packer and Durham.
From the basement.
On ACC Network. Good luck, boys.
Thank you for listening to the Packer and Durham podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.